remain standing for the reading of the gospel from John chapter 12. After the Greeks have come asking to see Jesus, Jesus speaks about one of the reasons for his coming as we continue this series of sermons about reasons he came as outlined in the gospel of John. One verse, John 12, verse 27. Jesus says, "Now my soul is troubled, and what should I say? Father, save me from this hour? No, it is for this reason that I have come to this hour." The gospel of the Lord Jesus. Please be seated. Why did Jesus come? For our good and his glory. He came for this hour that this table points us to. Whoever said that timing is everything was quite right about that. Supposedly, it was coined by Benjamin Disraeli, the Prime Minister of Great Britain, and then picked up after him by another Prime Minister, Neville Chamberlain. But you can find it spoken way back even among the Greek philosophers. But the truth is that the scriptures speak quite pointedly that God's timing is always right. And so we light the candle of hope. We live into the hope of the timing that the Old Testament prophets foretold, the time that would come for the return, for the coming of the Messiah, the King of Israel, the King of all. Paul called it the fullness of time, God's perfect timing in Christ. We read it earlier from Galatians 4 in our responsive reading, but let me reread it for you when Paul says, "But when the fullness of time, pregnant time, had come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, in order to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as children." Paul says that same phrase another time in Ephesians chapter 1 when he said, "In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace that he lavished on us. With all wisdom and insight, he has made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure that he set forth in Christ as a plan for the fullness of time to gather up all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. For this hour Christ came, for the fullness of time to bring us salvation." You know when the timing is right, don't you? We all live with that kind of inner instinct. I've pulled that "the time is right" card a few times for less than the most honorable reasons, I'll confess. "Oh, Beverly, I'm about to turn 50. It's the right time for me to get a motorcycle again," correct? "Oh, Beverly, that 6.5-foot three-weight fly rod is on sale, the perfect one for me to use in these little small creeks in Virginia, North Carolina, for these little small brook trout. It's on sale. The timing's right." "Or Beverly, there's a great rebate on that 20-gauge shotgun I have been waiting on for some. The timing's right." Well, we all know what the scripture is really talking about, not some manipulation, but rather you know that you know that you know that the time is full and right and ripe. Like my retirement. You, all of you who have retired, you know exactly what that feels like when you reach that point, when you know that you know that you know that's the fullness of time, the time is right for you, for the congregation, for the kingdom work. That's what we're talking about, really. And that fullness of time is called in the Gospel of John, the hour. "For this hour I am come." At least 12 times in the Gospel of John, the text or Jesus uses that phrase. I've encouraged us all to read the Gospel of John through at least once during this Advent season, and you will find it coming up time and again. Just look for it. It's all over the place. Chapter 2, Jesus' very first miracle, changing water into wine at Cana, wedding feast. His mother comes and asks him to do something. He says to her, "What concern to you and me? My hour has not yet come." all the way up until the text that we just read in John chapter 12, it's Jesus saying, my time has not yet come. It is not the week of my passion. It is not the time of my resurrection. It is not the hour. Does the same thing in chapter 4, the woman at the well he's speaking to, and he says, the hour is coming when you will worship God neither on this mountain nor Jerusalem. He says it twice. Chapter 5, same thing twice. The hour is coming when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God and those who hear will live. Chapter 7, once again, teaching in the temple. They tried but failed to arrest him. The scripture says because they couldn't arrest him because his hour had not yet come. Same thing in chapter 8. And then we come to the next text that we just read, John chapter 12, where the hour has come. It is right at the beginning of Passion Week. The hour has come. The next chapter, chapter 13, Jesus says, the scripture says that Jesus knew that his hour had come. Chapter 16, around that Last Supper, Lord's Supper table, the scripture says in chapter 16 that the hour is coming, indeed it has come, when you will be scattered, each one to his home, and you will leave me alone. It is that hour. Chapter 17, there in the upper room, Jesus prays what we call the high priestly prayer when he intercedes for all believers. He prayed for you and for me, and he began that prayer this way. Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son so that the Son may glorify you. Back to our text for today, chapter 12. The Greeks have come. They have asked to see Jesus. Andrew goes and tells Philip. Andrew and Philip go and tell Jesus. And Jesus says in response, the hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. He says it's like a grain of wheat that falls and must die, but out of that death it produces a bountiful harvest. And so he, in his hour, will die in order to produce a bountiful harvest. And he says, now my soul is troubled. And what should I say? Father, save me from this hour? No, it is for this reason that I have come to this hour. Then a voice came from heaven that said, I have glorified it and I will glorify it again. Why did Jesus come? Why Advent and Christmas? He came for our good and his glory. For this hour, the hour of this table story, the hour of the cross, the hour of the resurrection. Christian artists have understood that for many generations. You'll see in much Christian art about the birth of Christ, for example. Notice it. You'll see oftentimes the star above the manger, and if you look at that sort of aura around the star, it will be cross-shaped. There is a cross even in the star that shines over Bethlehem. Or you'll see in the manger scene as it's painted, there'll be some in the shadows where somehow the shadow forms the form of a cross, even over falling over the baby in the manger. Or there's a rather famous painting of the boy Jesus in the father's carpenter shop, and the father Joseph has raised up a timber to work on as a carpenter, and the light comes through the workshop window and catches that and puts across Jesus the shadow of a cross, even as a boy. One of our members posted a wreath on Facebook this week that caught that imagery, the two-ness of this season. Here is a Christmas wreath on one side of evergreen, and the other side of the wreath is a crown of thorns. Yes, indeed, this hour falls even upon us now. It was triggered, Jesus saying, this is the hour now, it has come. It was triggered by those Greeks coming and wanting to see Jesus. And their coming wanting to see Jesus was prefigured by the Magi, the wise men coming to see Jesus. The non-Jewish world, the scripture says he came to his own, John says, but his own received him not, but as many as received him, he gave power to become the sons and daughters of God, to any who believe in his name. And that's why you and I are sitting here today, because of the hour that came, in which it wasn't just for those who had the pedigree of Judaism and the backstory of the Old Testament. It came to all of us. So the Magi came, Gentiles, foreigners, prefiguring the coming of these Greeks, prefiguring all of us coming in response to the hour of what Christ has done for all of us. And you remember among the things that the Magi brought, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Myrrh, a kind of painkiller in the Arab world to this day. You remember that myrrh was offered to Jesus on the cross to be mixed with wine. Do you remember that John tells us that when Nicodemus came and retrieved the body of Jesus and put him in that borrowed tomb, he carried 100 pounds of spices, including, and the one he underlines is myrrh, for this hour, triggered by the coming of Greeks, prefigured by the gifts of Magi, myrrh, Bethlehem, not Nazareth where they lived, but Bethlehem, because they were there in Bethlehem due to the oppression of a foreign king and the systemic violence that was being fostered against the Jewish people. Oppressed, they needed a new king, the hour. The threat that came as well to the Jewish king, that sort of puppet Herod king, that despot, who was so threatened by this new king that he tried to kill all the little baby boys 2 years and under. This hour, it's all prefigured. There is indeed a crown of thorn on the wreath. There is indeed a shadow of the cross upon the cradle. John the baptizer introduces Jesus to us in the Gospel of John by saying, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." Jesus came for this hour. He was crucified at the Passover season as the Passover Lamb to take away the sin of the world. Why did Jesus come? Why this hour? You know the truth about you and about me. Jesus came for this hour because we are all sinners in desperate need of a Savior. Jesus came because we are all lost sheep in desperate need of the Good Shepherd to bring us home, and the door of the sheep gate, the door into the fold to bring us into community. Jesus came because we are confused and confounded, and we need the one who is the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus came because we are disconnected, and we need the true vine who will connect us with the source of all. Jesus came to this hour because we are all starving like those 5,000 on the hillside of Galilee, and we need the bread of life to feed us. Jesus came because we are all blind, like that man born blind whom Jesus healed in the Gospel of John, and we need the light of the world who is Jesus. Jesus came to this hour because we are all spiritually as dead as Lazarus was physically dead, and we need the one in whom is resurrection and life. Yes, timing is everything. And this time, this first Sunday of Advent, it is time to come to this table that tells us the story of what Jesus has done in this hour, the hour of his sacrifice and his being raised to give us life and victory over sin, hell, and death. So this table, the Lord's table, you are invited to receive, to come and feast with him. As Jesus said, he longed to share this with those who love him. So if you are the Lord's, come and taste and see that the Lord is good. The disciples did as Jesus instructed, and they made ready that Last Supper meal. For I have received of the Lord that which I delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus Christ, on the night he was betrayed, took bread and blessed it and broke it, gave it to his disciples and said, take, eat, for this is my body, which is broken for you. May we pray. O God, as we taste and see the goodness of Christ, remind us of the badness of our sin. And remind us that it was for this hour that Jesus came to give his all as a sacrifice for us. Bless this bread and bless us, sinners saved only by grace, as we receive it. In Jesus' name, amen. Do this in remembrance of him. In the same way also, Jesus took the cup when he had supped, saying, everyone drink of it, For this is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for the many for the remission of sins. May we pray. Oh God, again we say thank you to you, because we know that somehow the miracle of your grace, through the sacrifice of Christ, you have washed us clean. All our sins have been forgiven, and we are made new creations in Christ. Help us, O God, to live into the gift that has been given us in a way that gives ourselves to others in the work of your kingdom. Thank you for this hour that has given us forever. Bless this cup and bless us as we receive it. In Jesus' name, amen. Do this in remembrance of him. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show forth the Lord's death. You do continue to tell the story of the drama of what has happened in the hour until the Lord Jesus comes. Even now, Lord Jesus, quickly come. And his disciples finished that last supper. The scripture says they stood to sing a hymn, and they departed then from that upper room to the Garden of Gethsemane, where really the passion of Jesus, where the hour fully came in all of its fullness. And so this is such an important time as we now stand to respond and make decisions in response to the timeliness of the working of God in your life and my life. If God's Spirit has called you today to make a decision that would be public about your love and commitment to Christ, come and share that. If you've never been baptized and God's calling you to make that decision, come, or calling you to make this your church home, or whatever your need might be. We stand, we sing, I'll be here at the front. Sing of the love of God in Christ, the beauty of our fairest Lord Jesus, and respond in this hour, won't you?
Thank you.
delighted to share with you that in the well service this morning, we had three who united. Ms. Rebecca Barker, who is a young architect in our community, has become very involved. And then Brett and Nicole Prilliman, really coming back home to our church. Brett is a project manager, and Nicole had served with the Baptist General Association of Virginia. She, I think, has three children, I believe it is, and so she's kind of busy with that these days. But we welcome Rebecca, Brett, and Nicole into the life of Second Baptist. Let's bow now and close with a parting blessing and song. I pray that the Lord will bless and keep you this day and each day of this week, and help you to be good stewards of the hour and hours that God gives you every day, each day of this week, to take each day of this week and use its opportunities, accept its reverses, share its burdens, be thankful for its graces, be humble in its successes, be devoted to its giver, and share the good news of great joy that Jesus has come, the hour has been, and we are free and fully forevermore forgiven. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Blessed be the time that finds our hearts.